Father, we looking at your word again, and we're amazed how many people Paul spoke to. It just seems incredible that he could speak to all of Asia. Of course, that's Asia Minor. And that so many people came to Christ. What an amazing thing that is. And here we are, Lord, with people all around us who are lost. And we need to use the knowledge that we have and give out when we can. That was the nicest part about Apollo, is that he kept giving out even though he didn't have everything. So help us to be more cognizant of that, Lord, of people lost, and then we might have the courage to speak. Help us now, Lord, be our teacher and our guide, and open up our hearts and minds to understand, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul left Athens, and you know where Athens is, right? Athens, Greece. I have a picture of it at home, but one of my grandsons got into all the pictures for our 50th anniversary and took them all off all the carousels. And when I opened it up Saturday thinking I had an easy task ahead of me, I had thousands of pictures to go through. And unfortunately, he had renumbered them all. At least my youngest son said it was somebody else in the family, not him. I said, "You're on my list." Mom, for what? Anyway, he left Athens to go down to Corinth, and I wanted to tell you about Corinth. And it's an odd-looking thing. You have Achaia written in that just automatically think Greece. But then that finger thing that's down at the bottom, I think it's about three fingers, there's a little tiny peninsula thing up there between Centuria and Corinth. And in that day, if you sailed into port either side and needed to get on the other side, you didn't sail all the way around those fingers. Instead, you hired, I think, slaves, but it doesn't say so. It just says workmen. And they carried your boat over that area. Because that gave you a lot of time to go visit the you-know-whos.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So we'll get into that in a minute. Well, Paul had taken up tent making. Again, we're in chapter 18. And heading down the highway here of finishing up Acts. And since coming to Europe, though, you need to think about him. He had really suffered terribly. And he had been beaten and put in prison. He had civil rejections in Thessalonica, Berea, and then he had indifference in Athens, although there were a few converts. Now, if you want the correct pronunciation, it's today they call it, the Greeks call it Thessaloniki. But that doesn't sound right, does it? So, that's why I say I take whatever you tell me. I know who you're talking about. But Paul must have felt like a football if he had known what a football was like. Because he got beat up every time he turned around. Remember when he left Lystra, they stoned him with rocks. And I think he actually died at that time because I think his skull was all broken. And God met his needs. I have seen that in my own life this year, and it's what an amazing God we have. Don't doubt him. Well, how did he feel about it all? I found a verse, and I thought it so described us. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power. And your faith should not be the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he was afraid too. And that just made Paul all that more dear to me when I read that this week, how he became fearful. He was really more fearful of success than non-success, because it seems like every time he had a successful trip where a lot of people came to Christ, they beat him up all the more. So we can understand that, how he felt about it. And well, what was Corinth like? First, they were famous for their licentious worship. Now, you would never think of going to church to have sex, right? No. But it was the worship of Venus, the Aphrodite of the Greeks and Ashtoreth of the Phoenicians. They had a few different names for her. That worship was centered in the Temple of Venus on the Corinthian Acropolis. And if you read a nice textbook, it says the Temple of Venus was above, and they had 1,000 sacred... they don't use the word I use, let's see. They use the word consorts? Yes, consorts. We would use the word prostitutes, and I don't think we put sacred in front of it. And then from time to time, this man games were held in the stadium, and that attracted, of course, all the more to come. Now, Corinth was a big city, and next to the Temple of Neptune, just outside of the city. Yeah, it's hard for us to believe. I think, what would it be like if we had Neptune on the corner and we had Venus over here and so on? But we just about do. We don't need statues. So today we're pretty corrupt. Well, the name of the city became synonymous for licentiousness. They even, in the classical Greek, have a word called Corinthia Zomie, something like that. It means to practice fornication. And that's exactly what was going on. So, to act like a Corinthian, these perversions were all around Paul. But the thing that I noticed in our studies this week is he doesn't talk about them. You know, when we get together with other people, we talk about what's happened to San Francisco, or, you know, what's happening in our neighborhoods, and oh boy. But when Paul got together with somebody, who did he talk about?
Jesus.
Yeah. We need to recenter our thinking. Well, how did Paul get hitched up with Priscilla and Aquila? And this is how it happened. The Emperor Claudius had banished all Jews from Rome. I think poor Jews have been moving ever forever, and but they're getting back into their land, so it's good. Well, of the Jews affected by this persecution, of course, was Aquila and Priscilla, and so Paul partnered up with them because they were tent makers like himself, and so it was easy to join with them. And but I learned something through this. I think it's just great for a young man to have a vocation and another vocation to back up one. I'm sure you talked about that in your group. But what I didn't know is that the rabbis were not paid. So they worked outside of the synagogue, and then they preached, I was going to say for nothing, but not quite, to give the people the law. And so that was a new thought to me. I don't know, probably the rest of you knew that, but I didn't. So when Paul was growing up, he learned to weave goat's hair into cloth that would make tents and cloaks and curtains for your house. What went through my mind was Gone with the Wind, which uses the drapes for... No. Okay, I entertain myself until my lesson. Oh, dear. Anyway, well, Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And Corinth was this large commercial center, and you can see it in Paul's day. It has, you know, two, what do you call them, harbors, one on each side of this dirt that keeps separated, so you could come in on either side and then have your worship time out in the temple. And they also had a temple, Neptune, which is outside the city. So you could take up most anything you wanted to. And they did. So pretty soon the Jews didn't like what was going on. Let me see. 18:6. They opposed him and blasphemed, and he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there, entered the house of a certain man named Justus. Of course, he was right next door. So he must have had a big house. And so, you know, the Jews are watching all their people come in, and they're watching all these people come in to Justus' house, and they're getting mad because there's more people going into Justus' house than there are to the synagogue. So it was just a flood of conversions. Crispus was one of the chief rulers of the synagogue, and his job was to pray and preach and take care of the law. And, of course, he comes to faith, too, in verse 8. The ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord and all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. This is when Paul becomes fearful. And I think it's really interesting because it made me feel a lot closer to him. Yes. You know, it's so easy to become fearful. And I'll give you something that Abraham Lincoln did. And it says, when Lincoln was on his way to Washington to be inaugurated, he spent some time in New York with Horace Greeley and told him of an antidote which was meant to be an answer to the question which everybody was asking him, are we really to have civil war? In the circuit riding days, Lincoln and his companions riding to the next session of court had crossed many swollen rivers, but the Fox River was still ahead of them. And they said to one another, if these streams give us as much trouble, how shall we get over the Fox River? When darkness fell, they stopped for the night at a log tavern, where they fell in with a Methodist presiding elder of the district who rode through the country in all kinds of weather and knew all about the Fox River. They gathered about him and asked him about the present state of the river. Oh, yes, replied the circuit rider. I know all about the Fox River. I've crossed it often and understand it well. But I have one fixed rule with regard to the Fox River. I never cross it till I reach it. Now, no one here crosses that until they reach it, right? No, we love to borrow trouble. And here Paul is fixing his eyes on all the trouble he's had, and he's becoming fearful. But he had a flood of conversions. And then this Gallio comes into the picture here. I thought he was kind of a pain. He says he was the proconsul of Achaia, and of course that is, again, Greece. And the Jews, with one accord, rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names in your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be judges of such a matter. and he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, he's another ruler of the synagogue, and beat him. Now that wasn't nice. But of course he had become a believer. And Gallio had took no notice of these things. Now isn't that nice? How'd you like to have a ruler like that? Takes no notice of these things. So that was his problem. But what had happened to Paul the night before? He had this vision. And the Lord spoke to him, "Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city." In other words, there's going to be many people here for you to reach, Paul. And you think about that, and you say, well, if the Lord would just give me a vision, then I wouldn't have any fears either, right? He'll have just as much trouble keeping your eyes on him. And we have all the promises of God. I can guarantee you this. If you love the Lord today, you're sitting here, he's going to get you safely home. He won't say, "Oh, what happened to Liz? I lost her." No, 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 no. He'll know where I am. I always make too much noise. He'll know where I am. So I'm always asking questions. That's right. But so don't say, if I were just like Paul, then I could do this. Mm-mm. But God has promised you. Matthew 28:20. Let me go there. The last verse of Matthew. Yeah, you can go back to 19. I'll go back to 18. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you," sometimes?
Always.
"Even to the end of the age." And if you can argue with the Lord about that one. "Lord, you say you're with me, and now I'm scared to death, and what are you going to do?" And he says, "I haven't moved." Hebrews 13:5. It's another good one. He promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's when I say, "Are you sure?" There's a good verse in Isaiah that I like so much. It says, I got it here somewhere. "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you." Isaiah 41:10. It's all over the scriptures. I was told once there's 365 fear nots, but I looked them up and there's not that many, but there's a whole lot of them. And you do yourself well if you're in a place of fear to take a concordance and look up fear not. So, well, proconsul Gallio didn't want to get involved in Jewish problems. And that was, of course, for Paul's safety, really. It's good. But the interesting thing is that Gallio was the brother of Seneca, who was one of those Stoic philosophers. I'm sure you've read about him in school at some time. And he had a great influence with the Romans. Of course, the unbelievers were looking for Paul, and Christianity to be declared illegal. If they could just declare it illegal, then they'd be able to get rid of this Paul fellow. Well, it didn't happen, but the Greeks took Sosthenes and beat him, and I'm sure the Christians took care of him afterwards. It's Paul left Corinth with Aquila and Priscilla, and please note that he was not run out of town. I thought, well, that's a good thing. He left all by himself under his own power, and he wasn't thrown in prison. So the boat headed for Ephesus, and that's the end part of his second journey. Aquila and Priscilla stayed in Ephesus, and Paul went on to Caesarea and Jerusalem, to Antioch. Then he went back to strengthen the new disciples practically right away. Well, I think very soon. And that's his third journey, and we'll be getting into that next week. Then we run into the ministry of Apollos. I think he's really just real interesting because he had come to Ephesus, and he was a Jew, and he was born in Alexandria, and he was eloquent. And how easy it is to follow somebody that really is eloquent, that speaks well. You can get caught right up in it. And so I just urge you, be careful when you're watching stuff on TV. There's an awful lot of stuff. And unless you know the scriptures real well, backwards and forwards, I'd say stay away from it. But here he is. He only knows the baptism of John. And that's when you found out, remember? John the Baptist was sent ahead of time to prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. And that was just great. But it was only baptism unto repentance and not salvation. So Aquila and Priscilla. I had a terrible time this week. I don't know about you, but Apollo has, let's see, two L's. Priscilla has two L's. Aquila has one L. I had a terrible time writing those names out. Anyway, Aquila and Priscilla explained to him a more accurate way. You know, this is more to this. But you know, Paul came and he put his finger right on the problem. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? It seems like everybody knew about the Holy Spirit. But apparently Apollo had not been a part of that. But you know, he was humble enough to say no. And then he wanted to be a part. And so he goes ahead. How many men today would, perhaps their ego or something else would get in their way, and they would not be able to hear correction. I thought that was really good. And was the baptism of repentance is all he had. He needed to go on. And then in 19:5-7, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So that was just great. The synagogue had hard hearts and spoke evil of the way, still being called the way. And in verses 8 and 9, they just simply wouldn't believe and spoke evil of them. So what had happened is Paul went to the school of Tyrannus and continued for a couple of years there. I believe that was very close to the synagogue also. Must have really annoyed them. But I love that. Well, they were all baptized and moved on in their ministry. And but you know, I was thinking it's probably possible to follow somebody that's very eloquent in speech and doesn't know the Lord. You know, how many mothers have pushed their children into going to seminary or becoming a pastor, and they've never been born again, or they know they're just out there to please their moms. That'd be not good. But there's more than just eloquence of speech. It's the heart, it's so important. Well, he was there 2 years, and what's this bit about aprons and handkerchiefs? I have it down here, aprons, handkerchief thing. But it's really kind of gross when you think about it. Paul was a tent maker, and I don't know if you've ever traveled in the Mideast during the summer, but it's just unbelievably hot. And he would sweat a lot, and these handkerchiefs he kept using to wipe his brow, and the aprons were these dirty things that he used to protect himself when he was making tents. And but they seemed to kind of fall aside, and people were picking them up and finding they were healed. What a good deal. You guys send me $25, I'll send you something. The point is, God could work that way today, but doesn't. Because he's given us his whole book of Revelation right here. And Paul didn't have that. Don't forget that. Well, I love these verses here. They just say everything. Then we'll look at the pictures. It says, now God worked miracles by the hands of Paul. He still could if he wanted to, but we'd better look at the word. And diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. That's so neat. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, this is a good part, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. You know, something doesn't sound right there. It's not their savior, it's Paul's savior. And so, and then the seven sons of Sceva, also Jewish chief priests, who did the same thing of casting out spirits. However, don't mess around with the evil. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I mean, you could just see this. One demon is doing all this mess. It became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them. I would hope so. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them. They did that out of their own free will, cleaning up their life. I hope there's been change in your own life since you've come to Christ, that there's definitely a change. I could tell you a story about a tiki god from Hawaii, but I'll save it for some other time. Anyway, they counted up the value of and it was 50,000 pieces of silver. And once that was cleaned out, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. If you want that in your life, then you're going to have to ask the Lord to help clean up your life. Turn away from stuff that doesn't belong in it. Get rid of it. Okay, next week I ask you a question about this goddess figure up here. This is Diana. How did Diana come to an existence? She came to existence by Zeus throwing down from heaven a meteorite that looked like a woman's breast.
Wow. Oh my God.
So she's loaded. Maiden form had a tough time with this. Anyway, I ask you for it, and you might not have a Bible dictionary or a picture of it in your Bible, so I showed this one first. This is from Ephesus, and it's, she has several other names, but Diana is the one that I'll go by with your questions. Okay, what goes the second one? You say, what is that? Well, they decided last century to dig a hole through that place where I was telling you they carried the boats over from Caesarea to Corinth. And so now they have a canal going through there. And you can see some boats coming through. And it's just straight down. But I can't imagine being that kind of worker that has to carry some guy's boat. You know, you look at those big boats down there by the harbor and you think, no way. So, anyway, it's just another picture. It was pretty exciting to see this because the Panama Canal's been around for I don't know how long and so many others. But And this is at Ephesus. This is the, I have no brain, the amphitheater. And it's just phenomenal. We have several pictures of this. You can go ahead to the next one. And this is where, in next week's lesson, Paul's going to be on that road. And they warn him, don't go in, don't go in. You can hear, by going all the way up to the top of this amphitheater, you can hear people talking in a very soft voice down here. It just carries. Anyway, they kept screaming at Paul, great is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians, for 2 hours. And Paul wants to go into the amphitheater, and they keep him out, which is a good thing. They probably would have killed him. Okay. And that's the road he would have stood on. Now, the interesting thing, you see where the road ends down there? That used to be water. The silt and all the dirt and all the stuff over 2,000 years has come down and filled it all in. I really think the Lord had his hand in there because he said, I don't want you to go back worshiping Diana anymore. And so it just, this is a Roman built road as well as the amphitheater. And these are parked closer up. So you can see the shops, sort of, on the side. Ephesus, all part of Ephesus. This will be part of your next week's lesson. Doing it a little early, you can see they've just propped up stones so you get an idea. But it was all shops. Oh, here's the toilet. Public toilet. And you see they're pretty close. And there's running water. Don't think these people didn't have running water. They did. And in the center, which you can't see, it's not a very good picture, is this fountain. So when you got through, you washed in the fountain. And, of course, you wash with your left hand, so you would never shake anybody's hand. That would be very rude if you use your left hand. Always use your right hand in shaking hands with somebody, because the other one had been in place or something. You wouldn't want it. But I can't imagine really going potty in a place like that.
In public.
In public. Men and women together. Yeah. I don't know. All right. This is more, somebody tells you they'd like you to go to Ephesus, and you say, yeah, it's just a bunch of rocks. Basically, that's what it is. Those round things in the back, I believe, are bathhouses. From the top of the thingy, Bob. I didn't take any pictures. And this is how their waste would be taken care of, is through that pipe. And then the other, on either side, would be rainwater or whatever. Down at the bottom of is a library, about a 3-story library. And when we were there last time, they were still trying to put it together. But we have a tendency, and I just say this, my own concern, there's an awful lot of stuff on television that goes back and has man as some caveman. I believe that man in the beginning was extremely smart, very beyond what we are today, and we're actually kind of going downhill. And certainly with God out of our country, it seems pretty wild. But they had a library, and they had running water and shops, and very much like today. Yeah, the arches, it's all Roman in design. Interesting. Go ahead. Yeah, this is just still more shops that are left of what was left. Yeah, it must have been quite beautiful. Okay, this, we're in Corinth, and that tall little mountain over there has a temple on top of it. This is where the 10,000, or the 1,000, I'm going to make it worse than it is, 1,000 consorts, consorted. And how they got up there, I don't know. Oh, I stuck this in because this, the interesting thing is they don't know a whole lot about a whole lot of stuff. Most of, if you go and take a tour of Mideast, Israel,
you'll find out, well, they think this, or they thought that, or 300 BC or AD, and you, after a while, you begin to kind of shake your head. This is a cement thing. Maybe it's marble, I have no idea. But that was found in 1980. And up to then, they had no understanding of whether Pilate ever existed. You can see how that could happen. They didn't write everything down. So, but his name, Pilatus, is on there. I don't know if you can make that any bigger. But it's there. It's Greek. But isn't that interesting? You would think the chief person in putting Jesus to death would be, his name would be a lot of places. Is that it? Now we're back to Corinth again. A few statues. Most statues don't have any noses, or they don't have any heads. I wanted to show you this. This is all that's left of Diana's temple. One pillar, and that's it. Everything else is gone. I think God had a big design in that. That's it. So I thought that might add a little bit to you. We are 5 minutes over, so let's pray. And Father, I thank you that these places that Paul visited are actual places, and that you had people there desperately wanting to know truth. And Paul was fearless, Lord, really, in sharing the gospel, whether it was while he was tent making or while he was eating. Every place he went, he talked about you. And we want to praise you, Lord, for raising up somebody like Paul and using him so well. Help us, Lord, to be better witnesses, to let you shine out of our lives. Lord, you're going to get us safely home one day, and I'm longing for that day. And if there's anyone here today that is like Apollo, has never come to grips with the Holy Spirit, Lord, may this be the day where they come to you and pray that their sins will be forgiven and that they'll be receiving you and that they want to know you as be your child. Lord, let that happen today. Lord, we just give you much praise for the fact that all of this that we're studying is available to be seen, and we need to come to grips with that too. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.